Bring it up a little bit. Okay, there you go. Everybody can hear me? Okay, he that have an ear, let him hear. Okay, we're going to get started here, and I struggled with this for the whole week. It changed my whole line of thinking, and it doesn't change scripture. It gave me an in-depth understanding. I spent hours listening to individuals like Zelnick on Saturday, and then the land of the book. I listened to these guys. You get real news. And there was another that explained something about why Jesus made statements that literally blew my mind. Because we've been reading it all this time, and I said, oh, so that's what he meant. That's what he meant. And so what I want to do right now is to see where your thinking is or where it should be. Let's bow in prayer. Father God, thank you for our time together. Thank you for your great love. And your purpose, Lord, is to help us to be knowledgeable, discerning believers. Lord, my prayer is that we watch what we say and live what we should be in Christ and make decisions always, not always, to make you look good. So thank you for what you're going to do. Great is your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, probably right at this point, we'll put you in pretty much in a lecture mode. And so some of the things that I'll be saying, I want you to do some thinking and evaluating. Okay? Have this mind among yourselves. And this is the leading version. We'll come back to it later. Which is yours in Christ Jesus. Who thought it was in the form of, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And the whole idea is this. Why? We need to go back behind the scene. When Jesus made it very clear, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Okay. When the word said that, James said that, then what do you mean by the world? Then let's go deeper. Okay. We have been created by God to have a ability to be excellent thinkers. What type of thinkers? But how we manage our thought life will have a spiritual, physical, and an eternal ramifications, the results. Finish this statement. I am a good analytical thinker because. And of course, you know who you are. You know how you think. So are you a good analytical thinker? How many can answer that? You don't have to say it. I mean, I'm just, how many can, I have an answer for that. First you have to ask the question, what is a good analytical thinker? How do you measure good? Oh, this whole thinking affects how we talk about the past, stumble through the present, and have a messed up tomorrow. Because you see, we said earlier, as a man thinks in his heart, what? Don't forget that. You never run across a person and say, but I don't know what I was thinking. Yes, you were. Oh, yes, you were. I'm not going to the specific, but you were thinking that way because you were in a camp where that's all they think. And what God is saying, listen, I'm going to show you how to think so that you have peace, you have your act together, you don't have to be in this do not. You read in the area of victory, there's a way we should think, but we have to go deeper than that. Okay? Because of Adam's disobedience, two distinct ways of thinking were established. Now understand, before Adam sinned against God, there was only one way of thinking. Everybody on board? One big box, that's it. That one big box is, do what I say. He didn't say please, because he's God. He said, do what I say. Do you see that tree in the middle of the garden? All right, now. You can have anything you eat of all the other foods, but isn't that food in the middle of the garden? It says, if you eat of that food, you shall surely die. One thing is, when God tells us something, he has the whole picture from that point throughout all eternity. He says, don't bite of that food. See, notice what it said, notice the distance. In the middle of the garden, out of the hard lodge that garden is. Okay, ask AI. Make sure my phone is off. Anyway, ask AI. Ask all the others. How large was that garden? He says, and the tree sits in the middle of it. He said, everything else, enjoy yourself. I'll come down, fellowship with you and everything else, and we have a good time. And I'll come in the cool of the evening. He said, because I made everything for you. Don't you know I made everything for you, Adam? Oh yes, Lord. Good, good. And so the only way of thinking was God's way of thinking. Are we in agreement with that? Now, we have man's flawed thinking that was introduced, received, and used by Adam and Eve's thoughts. This was introduced by God's enemy, Satan. He, in essence, called God a liar. All the process was this, because man at this point would not think through this process. You see, if God says don't do this and here are the results of it and you do it, then you cannot say, I forgot. No, it had nothing to do with it. What did I tell you what to do? Not to do it, okay? That's how I hope we've been training our children, okay? Don't do this. Why? Because I said so. Now, you can give me 1,000 whys, I would still say, because I said so. I don't like it, because I said so. Whenever God brings anything in our lives, you do not have. We do not have a say-so. Why? We've been bought with a price. God has gone through so much for us, we don't have a say-so. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. If you're thinking that even in any way apart from that, there's two lines of thinking right now sitting in this church. You may be nice folks, intelligent folks, likable folks, hard-headed folks. Because you see, this next box was where Adam and Eve were up. Matter of fact, they went to the middle, where the middle of the tree was. They had to go there first. Hey, the Lord says, do not bite. Now are you in the area? If you're hungry, all this food keep coming up, man. Go ahead and eat. No, you're not hungry. You didn't eat because you were hungry. And as you got closer to the tree, Satan said, I got one now. And Satan hated you and me. And hating you and me and our future, how do you mess up a future and get them to go into the lake of fire, which God had prepared for the Satan and his angels? And so Satan said, of course he got the weakest link. See, Eve didn't hear it. But Adam did. But Adam had been with Eve, his wife. He is the priest, provider, protector, and love of the relationship. Knock that thing out of her hand. Tell her, leave it alone. No. Did he do that? No. He's standing there listening. No, he's standing there listening to the conversation. It didn't say that Eve went to find Adam. Adam was right there, gave him the fruit, and the Bible says he bit of it. And the moment he bit of the fruit, both of them created another block. And this other block, one was the block of the righteousness of God. Now there's another block that fights against the righteousness of God. Let me explain that block. When we talk of that block, Adam and Eve, who were to multiply and continue, continue to multiply, then there's something that happened. How do you think a society is formed? It always starts with one or two, basically, to husband, wife. And when that happened, man began to multiply and multiply and multiply and multiply. And so you have a culture. It's called now love not the world. In the world, everything is anti-God. This second block then, as the world acts and thinks and you start acting like them, you are not acting like a child of God. Because what did God say? See, God hasn't changed his rules. You got two things mixed up now, messed up. First you have Adam, because he was the head of the household, bit of the fruit. And now the DNA of man is the wages of sin is death. Anything you do according to this world system is tied into, how can I put it, death. There's a point when the point of the man wants to die and judgment. Okay. And guess what? It's stuck with us. We're fighting. We're fighting now with three things. We're fighting with the world, cultural thinking, the flesh, what everyone is born with, and the devil, who is the one who wants to see you, hate you, and wants to put you, hang out with him in eternity, in torment forever. Everybody with me so far, hopefully? And so what happens is this. You have the two blocks. And then to correct what happened, Jesus Christ, he didn't have to do it. Couldn't God have created another creature, a bunch of creatures? No. What God does lasts forever. All he has to do now is change the picture. And that's why Jesus Christ came into the picture. Whereas by one man sin entered into the world and death passed on all men. All have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the second box. It's from Adam. It's from the culture. That was antithetical to God. And now what happens is, now God has to move, because this is an ongoing battle until Jesus comes. And this ongoing battle is literally mind-boggling. So, let's go forward. Observing the method of the process of thinking. Thinking is never an accident. It functions in this order. There must be data, information available to process that will be received by our five senses. What we see, what we hear, how we smell, what we taste, how we touch, what we taste, and how we touch. You know if somebody gave you apple pie and sweet potato pie, and if you taste either one of them, you immediately say, this is not apple pie. It's because my data, which I received, I know what apple pie is. This is not apple pie. Sweet potato. Oh, I know what a sweet potato pie is. How do you know? Because here are the ingredients of a sweet potato. See the whole idea? You don't just think. There's always something that's feeding your intake. And God is saying, I want you to understand that your thinking is influenced by what the world society is saying, by all of the physical, negative, everything is going south. Meanwhile, God says, here's how you should think. And so this, our thinking is not an accident. You're trying to make up an excuse. Stop the excuses. You were thinking that way because you were receiving the data to make you think that way. And so you can look at Facebook and all of the medias and everything else. And now that AI is in it, they have artificial ways of making you think such and such happened. I was looking at John MacArthur, and AI was took over one of John MacArthur's speeches on YouTube. And I said, that's not John MacArthur. That's not John MacArthur. And then Tony Evans. They picked up Tony Evans, and you know, you can tell that it wasn't Tony Evans, because AI, sometimes AI say this is an AI transition, but usually whoever the person is talking, their lips are talking, but their hands and body is not moving. I said, and so you have to be very careful. And what they want to do, you get that line of thinking, of absorbing, and paramagnetic things up, and you start quoting from AI. Because what? You have, number one, the Lord says for us to, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to what? Show ourselves approved to God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you will say, that's not true. And they say, what makes your statement? Because you look at Proverbs 12:17, it says that when it comes down to truth, you have to have evidence. And God has evidence on everything he has put out there for us. How much are we thinking on that and talking about the things of the world? D double dare you to mark out a larger time to walk and think with God. It's not about you. The more you begin to read about God, it might be offensive. It's not about you. It's about God. It's through his glory. He's the one who chose you. He's the one who created you. He's the one who have committed eternity taking care of you. He's the one who's given us a new identity. And then God says, and here's how you should think, not the second box. This is how you think the way I think. Why? Because you're my child. So don't bring that worldly mess in here and expect me to pray for it and expect me to answer it. I will not answer it until you get your thinking straight. What I want the Lord to do, no. There's some things that the Lord has given you the power to do, and you just haven't done it. So when we do things like this, now we're going to do a serious problem. So when we talk about the data, let's move over to the next slide. The contrast between thinking without God and making all of our decisions in Christ. If we are thinking operates outside of the will of God, it is an act of disobedience. It will be vulnerable to negative and reversible results. It will not be approved by God, so don't ask nor bless it. There are no promises, or guess what? When you begin to think like the world, there is no joy, peace, or protection. You may have a good time in that, but you know what? It's not lasting. It will be driven by attitude of self-centered thinking. It will all pass away. It will be a life of unproductive prayer. Roman goes into analogy of that. Here's a warning from the Word of God. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that shall he also reap. Okay, what did God tell Adam? Adam, don't go in that tree. Don't bite the fruit of the tree. You should surely die. Everybody understand that? Okay, it's not God that God is present. God said it. That settles it. Okay, no debates. Then he says, here's the rule now. Don't fool yourself that you can live in the box of the world and have fellowship with God and have your prayers answered. You can hang it up. You can hang it up. This is not even an argument. Okay? And so he says, the Lord says, so what's God thinking? Whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, a good report, any virtue, any praise, think on these things. In that bottom line, verse 9, which says, and the God of peace. See, the blessings are on doing what God says. Then the hardship is doing it your way because you think it's a better way. But remember, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So is he. Now we go to fitting all our decisions by the will of God in Christ Jesus. To at least get your mouth moving, let's go through these. Number one, the promises of God are guaranteed. For you, whatever, when you see someone standing on the promises of God, whatever God promised, it's guaranteed. He puts not a generic God. He put his name on it. The God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have said, this will happen. That's promise. Now, I'm talking to folks who have made up their mind. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Let's go to the next one. The next one is, the promises of God will be established with eternal benefits. Number three, let's read it. The peace, power, perseverance, protection, etc. I'll provide. So you got the whole package. Okay. I'm just praying the Lord that give me peace. You already have peace. Now how you get the peace? He said, listen to, go back over to the verses. Do you have peace when you think on the things that I've told you to think? And if you're not thinking on that, you will not have peace. You're asking your friends stuff that you should talk to God about. And then, on top of that, he's given us the resources. That's why we come together as a church. It's not based on the numbers. It's based on individuals that God's been working in your life that you can help others as they go through. You that being in first enforcement, God has touched base in every way. In every way. But it's depending on your choice, and your choice is based on how you think. And the question is, are you going to walk out of here thinking the same way, according to the world and according to the word? It will not work. According to the world, it's a waste. When you do it to the world, it's wonderful. How else can you rejoice in the Lord? What? Always. Again, I say, rejoice. Not because of things happening on the outside, because my relationship with God is continually growing on the inside. It starts getting me excited. And get this, God is just as excited to get you home, as you should be excited to go home. Thank God. And then, personal joy and impact in the lives of others will be inevitable. The level of spiritual growth will be evident to all. You see, when you have fruit, people should be able to see it. When you have your own fruit, it rots. It has nothing to feed it. When you get your fruit, it's going to rot. But when you have the fruit of the Spirit, it'll grow. And folks, how do I know that I have the Holy Spirit working within me? Oh, you have the Holy Spirit working within you. But when you begin to permit the Holy Spirit to work it out in your life, then people will start coming to you. Not because you're smart. Some folks just want to hang out with you. because you have a sense of blessing. And it's good for us to hang out together as a church. See? And then we'll find that the level of spiritual growth will be evident to all. The power to resist Satan, the world, and the flesh, your own flesh, will be productive. Resist the devil, draw near to God. Resist the devil, and what will he do? He'll flee. The world, it says, the flesh, you could say no to everything that is negative to the things of God. And never say no to God. Then we go on. We will be rewarded by God for our faithfulness and service. The retribution of God to those who are still in that box, other box, will be the judgment of God. For us, get this now, there is therefore now no more what? Condemnation. Well, if I mess up, I'm just, they had a song, I had to, my wife and I, we had to repent over it, about trying to make 100. 99 and a half won't do. And I mean, you should hear that song. And I mean, some folks are shouting on it. That's the dumbest. I said, they had another one in the Baptist church I was in. It was entering along like a poor earthworm or something like that. They had it in a hymn book. They had me sing it. And I said to the person, I want you to sing this at my funeral. I said, what? I'm in the wrong place. An inchworm when we're more than conquerors through him that love us. Don't let the flesh dictate who you are. Don't let your circumstances dictate who you are. When things get worse, get down and start praising God for where he has you and what he has for your life. Now listen to Joni Erickson Tata as she began to emphasize that whole area, a new way of praising God. And how Joni Erickson Tata had been a quadriplegic. And again, I mentioned the fact that she's an excellent artist. But she had to do it with her teeth. And she was explaining that to do that, she had to have a certain type of brush, and then she had to have a certain type of glasses to see the work that she had to do. She would never learn that through the accident. But she stuck with a pain that will follow her probably till the Lord takes her home. And in the midst of that, thousands, literally thousands, are being blessed by her and her blog. Oh, God has a different way of using each one of us. We're just trying to tell, well, God, I just want you to bless me after I get to this particular point. Lord, I want you to bless me as I do. God said, oh, yeah, anything else? Good. Give me the sheet of paper. Here it is, Lord. Good. And he tears it up. Then when God tears it up, instead of humbling ourselves, we blame God. Is something wrong with the thinking? It is. You're thinking out of the other box, from the societal box. And it's always contrary to God. And God says, no, I want you to see. That's why I want you to get a good theology of who I am. And he says, what? Regardless of how you act, I'm still your daddy. Regardless of whether you're going to talk to me or not, I'm still your daddy. You're acting like a child in the grocery store and reaching out and going, you know how loud they are. They won't talk to you, but you can hear them on the other side of the store. They want what they want. And look, guess what? The silence of the parents. I mean, good parents. They're not screaming at the baby. Shut up. I'm tired of you. No. It says, as the psalmist says, when I was acting so foolish, you still held me by my right hand. You didn't let go when I would have let you go a long time ago. The flesh says, let him go. The spirit says, hold on and place your trust in him. And watch how God works. God works miracles among believers who trust him. Okay. That we will be rewarded by God for our faithful service. Our love, obedience, and worship will greatly increase. Why we come to morning worship, that's a whole new subject of why we should be at morning worship. Okay. Well, I feel you should be among believers. And one of the reasons you should be among believers, because God gave a list of all the things that happens when you're among believers, that from different levels, different experiences in life, how we come together and encourage each other. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Thinking it through, God our Father has given us a choice to choose how we will think and live. But for the followers of Christ, there is one decision we must make, to obey and live according to the will of God. So consider the instructions of Paul out of Philippians 1, 2. You mean all of this was all? Paul addressed the importance of following the B pattern. What type of pattern? Okay, number one, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, and affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. The three things required. Be of the same mind. This commitment is Christ and the will of God. Be committed to the same love, the agape love. Be committed to the same mind. You see the bees? You find it right there. Let's go on. Be deliberate. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. That's that other box. But in humility, count others more significant than yourself. That's the Jesus box. Let each of you look not on his own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's the Jesus box. Here are the steps that are needed. Do nothing that is driven by the flesh, the old nature, but the Word of God. Establish an attitude of humility will place your agenda last. Be sensitive to the interests of others. Now, when you talk about being sensitive to the interests of others, I think it's important to understand there's a lot of things that other folks are involved in, concerned with, going through. We'll never learn it if we don't hear it. Remember, we get the data. And that's why I appreciate the first Sunday after morning worship, the opportunity to share. And you can share the things that individuals are going through. We can pray for individuals, etc. But guess what? That should be going on right here. If not, it's going to be in individual life groups. We need to broaden our thinking and understand all of you are my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Lord knows my heart. There are none that is better than the other. We're all in Christ. That's my thinking. Is that of the world? Or is that of the Lord? Does it please God? Or the world don't know what you're thinking about? Some would want to suffer in silence. What a shame. Because a lot of times the answers is for your own personal suffering. And guess what? There are no medals for you suffering in silence. Have you seen anybody? This person is suffering in silence. And we decided they're the person of the year because they suffered more than others. Please. Meanwhile, when something happens to individuals who have made an impact in their lives, it impacts theirs. I think about Lydia. And the whole idea of Lydia and all the things that happened in her life. Then this thing that happened to Lydia, the impact on the community is tied into her as an individual. Why? Because she got involved and loved and got involved in others' lives. I think that's so important as we think in God's care. Be committed to our new normal in Christ. Choose to embrace what we have been given. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ. Mirror all Christ did in obedience to the Lord. So when we talk mirror, notice his deity, he did not turn away from. He just put it at another level. His power, his transformation into the human form. He humbled himself. He became obedient to the point of death. That was the choice with the Godhead when Jesus Christ decided to go into what they call the hypostatic union as perfect God and perfect man. He decided that he's going to go through this, not only go through it and finish it. Jesus Christ will be in this form forever. That's a choice. And so we're getting attitudes about things that God's not doing in our life right now because we're not satisfied. I'm not used to going that route. God says, no, you need to, let's do some real thinking here. God loves you and his thoughts of you are always going on all the time, all the time. Let's go. Be committed to our new normal in Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Did not think that he had to fight for. He had to fight for something what he already is. He's the creator also. He's the everlasting father also. But empty himself, set him what he wants by taking the form of a servant and being in the likeness of God. That second Adam, you can hear him cry out to God. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He said, but nevertheless, it's not my will, but your will be done. If you're not willing to die to yourself, you're no good to anybody else. And being found in a human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. Dying on the cross of Calvary had a lot of ramifications. His disciples, many of them, left him frightened. He said they were going to run. The world beat him to a point of being of recognition, being not recognized. The Father, from the spiritual angle, since Jesus Christ has become sin for us, then Jesus Christ took on the sins of the whole world, the past, the present, and the future, everything we'll ever do, so that there will be no condemnation. When you mess up, don't think that you go, oh, I don't want to go to hell. Well, you're not. Your thinking is off. You're thinking of what happens with a person in the other box. But when you're in Christ, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me and I give them eternal life. And no man can take it from you. He says, my Father and I are one. And Lord, I place it in my Father's hand. And so you, if you think you can get past me, well, you're going to do it to Father. So forget about this, oh, you can be saved and lost because I'm good. No, by grace are you saved. By God's choice and his love and his provision, you are saved. Who are you? Where are you? And if you're thinking wrong, you start acting wrong. You talk more about the world than you will the Lord. We need to know our identity and get it straight. One last thing. Isn't it nice to see the word one last thing? I mean, that preacher's going to get ready to shut up. For those of us who have been chosen, predestined, called, redeemed, justified, adopted, sanctified, and glorified, we need to keep in mind that our Lord is not asking us for our opinion. He expects what? What is it again? One more time? And so the real question on the table is, am I obedient? Thinking outside of the will of God is futile. I remember looking at one of those space pictures and he was saying, resistance is futile. The morgue, they would say, resistance is futile. You can do whatever you want. Yeah. You kill one, another come up, because resistance is futile. And that's what God is saying, resistance is futile. And when you understand that, and you realize what we should be acting like we are designed to be. And so, thinking outside the will of God is futile again. So we need to keep that in mind. And my prayer is that, at least if I can just get, have gotten you to think a little bit about this whole idea of how you're thinking. Is it a mixture of the world and God? It's not going to work. God says, I share my glory with no man. But if we are in line with the Lord, then we are in line with what he has to say to us, through us also. That's my prayer for Chicago there. And the more I step up, throwing out shows that is so fruitless and time-consuming, and listening to and learning more about God. The next thing on my mind is that all the phrases that Jesus Christ talked about, you know, I go to prepare a place for you. Did he mean that for us? In the Jewish thinking, when we go through the whole Jewish thinking, Jesus walked through the whole Jewish thinking with the disciples. All of the quotes and everything else with the disciples. The consummation of that is 1,000 years. The Jews understood what he was saying. We read it and we rejoice. Listen, we are already there. You'll prove it all. We will prove it. Once we understand this and start connecting these together, we begin to read in context and understand the wonder of God and his great love for each one of us. Okay, Donald. Shut up and pray. Let's bow. Father God, how I pray this morning that you lead and guide us and help us to think in a way that is always pleasing and honoring to you. Lord, help us understand there's only two ways of thinking, the world's way or your way. There's two ways you have decided to answer, yes or no. Thank you, Lord, that you haven't and will not give up on us. Thank you for your great love. Thank you for your great choice. Great is your faithfulness. So we commit this day and the rest of our lives thinking your way, the only way, the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I give all to you.